This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just know you cannot police fans. You cannot tell anybody what to do. But I'll say this, like, if you're a Yankee fan rolling into Citi Field tonight, okay, wear your Yankee gear because you're a Yankee fan on that side of New York or whatever. But to be obnoxious, to be drawn, I don't know. We're just in a weird ass time. Like, this social media time is so corny. Like, I'm ready to age out of it. By the time my son starts knowing what social media and stuff is, I'm out, yo. I'm out because it's like everything in our reality is done for clicks. Everything is done for social media. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of these guys are going to the stadiums like, oh, I'm going to wear my Yankee jersey. I'm going to get a rise out of people. Okay. But then, you know, like, it used to be you go to the stadium in an opposing team's gear to get a rise out of somebody. Someone might rise up and swing on you. Now, people don't do that as much because of the video camera, and that's obvious evidence. And I don't know. We're just in a weird time, man. I say this again. I've been to Mets games with wearing all black with no logo on. And I always say when I go to Yankee Stadium, when people aren't wearing Yankees gear or don't have a Yankee logo, I say, why are you undeclared? You're not a Yankee fan? Okay, respect. Understand, you're not a Yankee fan, but you're not coming here with a target on you. You're not coming here looking for that attention. You know, shout out to Andrew who called and said, hey, I can tell you why those Yankees sucks chants broke out. But, like, you know, I'm listening to Howie Rose, and he's like, the Yankees aren't here. They played earlier today, and they lost. But people are going to chant Yankees suck. They're going to chant F Juan Soto. They're going to chant whatever they want to chant. I just had somebody going back and forth with me on Instagram. And that, too. I'm a hop, skip, and a jump away from having no time to go back and forth with y'all. I'm living my best life. I ain't going back and forth with you. This guy was going back and forth with me. I'm like, listen. They replaced Altuve with Juan Soto. That's all it is. For 4 seasons, they chanted F Altuve. Oh, Keith, well, that's different. He robbed Judge of an MVP. They stole our chance at going. I'm like, it's not that deep, Brody. It is not that deep. I'm telling you, fans are chanting F Juan Soto the same way they chanted F Altuve. And it is what it is. It's not going to stop. If anything, it's going to get worse. And we'll see where the teams go, you know, in the standings. We'll see where the teams go. We still have well over a month until the teams face off. But, like, we're just getting started, man. And it's a copycat league. It is monkey see, monkey do. So if somebody buys a Juan Soto jersey and goes to Yankee Stadium and their TikTok or reel gets 100,000 views, they the next person is following up trying to do that. If somebody goes to Citi Field and gets all of this attention because they wear a Yankee jersey and jump up and down, the next person's following up to do that. So just accept it. Accept it. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the conversation at hand. Mark, all the way out in California, back on the Fan in New York.
What's going on, Keith?
You know, quick show. Just going to hit a couple things, and we'll be back to do this later tomorrow.
There you go. Yeah, man, I mean, quick talk just about Rangers for, like, not even, like, 1 second, man. If this has to be, me and you included, one of the worst seasons we witnessed in a long time.
It was just unpredictable for the Rangers. I don't think anybody could have predicted the way that this season went for the after last year. I didn't have it on my bingo card. And you know what? This gives me an opportunity to shout out Sam Rosen. Because I was in the gym and I was thinking about Sam Rosen going out like this. I'm like, that sucks. But, you know, I did see a tweet where they said, you know, his iconic, it's a power play goal, like that call. Like, that's a thing now, and they're honoring him that way. So good that they're doing that. But he's not going to get to call any playoff games. And this being his last season, none of us predicted the Rangers going out like this.
Yeah. I mean, they started 12-4. We're like, here we go again, man. They're going to start hot. And then it's going to be, you know, hopefully we can get hot again. And
yeah,
blah,
but
blah,
there was some off-season rumors about trades and getting some guys out of here. And then when they actually did start making those moves, like, I don't know. Right. They need to keep making moves. Chris Drury, what's up, bro? How you feeling? What you thinking?
Can't stand that guy, dude, with a passion, man. I mean, this season's been so bad that I did a little digging. 61 power play chances, and they have 4 goals. Disgusting. It's like he makes no adjustments, Lavoie, the coach. No adjustments. He's just dying with playing the veterans and just
no quit in New York. No quit in New York.
It's frustrating, but I hope there's changes. I hope both Drury and Peter go because we need fresh blood, man. But Giants, April 24th. Okay.
Who are they picking? Who are they drafting?
We need Abdul Carter. Giants fans, listen to this. We need Abdul. I don't know if there's a lot of the youngins that listen in, but I don't know if they remember the Justin Tuck, the Strahan, Eamon Yora, Matthias Kiwanuka. They had too many bodies.
JPP.
JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, they had too many bodies. The thing is like, guess what? If you take a look at Abdul Carter, he plays off the ball on early downs, just as he did in Penn State.
Yeah, outside linebacker, yep.
And so the thing is he reminds me so eerily, bro, of like Micah Parsons. The dude can play edge. He can play
that's
linebacker.
His comp.
He can
yeah, that's his comp. And you missed on so Micah good. Parsons the year you got Kadarius Toney. So
that's what I'm saying. And so, listen, what's going to be crazy is this scenario would blow my mind because crazier things have happened in the NFL. What would happen if the Tennessee Titans took Abdul Carter at 1 and Travis Hunter goes 2 and then you have Cam Ward and Sanders in the Giants lap?
Won't happen.
Just be like,
won't happen. Cam Ward is going 1. They canceled their workout with Shedeur Sanders. It's obvious. Callahan is done with Will Levis. Cam Ward is going 1. There are some rumors about Travis Hunter going 2 to the Browns and Shedeur slipping. But the Giants can't take Shedeur Sanders. It would make no sense. If Abdul Carter's there, you take him. And like,
I'd be happy with Mason Graham, the defensive tackle from Michigan. I'd be happy turning him next to Sexy Dexy. Like, that would be nuts, and I can't believe I just said the name Sexy Dexy, but I did, so.
All right, what you got on Carlos Rodon?
Listen, man, dude, I called in, man, game 1, it was high and dry, and I'm like, dude, it's 1 game, I get it. But that pitch was clear ball 4, and I think he just unraveled after that, bro. But the thing about Carlos is every single game, bro, it's 1 mistake. We keep saying, it's not 1 pitch. It's just, you can't do this.
Yeah.
It's just,
I'm so tired of that, dude. Well, it's a good outing if you just take out 1 or 2 mistakes.
Yeah,
we can't.
Snowballs every
what do you mean?
Single game, bro.
That's the whole game there. Those 1 or 2 mistakes is the whole difference in the game.
Bro, he said Andy Ibañez, he's like, that's a no-no spot. Then why are you throwing it over the middle?
Yeah, just, I don't know. Thanks for the call, Mark. I don't know, bro. And I'm looking at him right now on SNY, and he's got this look where he's, like, biting his lip, like, bro, what? Be better. Be better. You're paid to be better. And with Cole down, damn, we miss Cole. Like, today is a day where I'm like, we miss Cole sorely right now. Because you know he'd be competing with the way that this team is hitting. I'm sitting in my apartment today. It's a 3:10 start. I'm like, we haven't seen Cole pitch this season. And you know how Cole would be locked in knowing that these guys can hit. Maybe not today. Like, I remember Cole getting rocked in Detroit, what was it, a couple years ago? Because it was too cold. But, like, Rodon is just like, I don't know, he's like still a little bit of a head case. Anyway, 888-808-1019. You know, the Yankees miss Gerrit Cole, but the Mets don't miss Sean Manaea yet. Frankie Montas, they don't even know yet. So far, guys like David Peterson, Tyler McGill, they've been lights out. Kodai Senga looked good today. Danny Young, don't have to worry so much about Danny Young today. Jose Buto, all reliable. Ryan Stanek, you didn't have Edwin Diaz. Ryan Stanek goes out there and gets his first save. Aaron is in Clifton, New Jersey on the fan next. You got it, Aaron.
How you doing, Keith?
Good, how are you?
Good. Two things. I wanted to say that looking at the pitching, meaning like if they pitch anything like the pitching tonight, then we're good to go because the hitting's not there right now, but when it comes, we're gonna be rolling.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
Second thing I want to say, I was there in the game tonight also. Section 106, Yankee fan comes in, starts chanting, "Let's go Yankees." We're going to give it to you. They can't come into our building like that. You got to put some respect on us.
Yeah, man. I just wish that we would be more humble as Yankee fans right now. There's no need. There's nothing to flex. There's no need to be so arrogant. And like it just doesn't look good.
Guys are just going for the views. You know, security took them out. It's going to happen every time. We're going to stick it to come into the building.
Yeah, get me on video. I'm going to chant, "Let's go Yankees." Get me on video. Okay.
Too many stupid kids these days, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm washed. I'm old. I'm not a stupid kid. I'm just a stupid old man at this point. But I'm not doing that. I'm not going. I can never get jiggy with that. Thanks for the call, Aaron. I would never do that. You know, I don't go. I don't know. It's like a code thing. If my team is not playing in the game, I'm not going. But I understand. I went to Camden Yards and saw the Angels play the Orioles in a Yankee hat and a Yankee hoodie and disrespected the Orioles and rooted for the Angels the whole time. I was 23. It was after Preakness. I was blacked out anyway. You know what I'm saying? But like, I don't know. In New York, I haven't even been to Citi Field that many times. I went to opening day in 2017 or 2018. I wore my corporate like office clothes. I'm trying to think if I've been to Citi Field for another game. I went when Tampa randomly played the Yankees there because it was weather related. So I wore pinstripes. It was a Yankee game. And then I've been to the last three Subway Series. 21, 22, 23. So last four, I don't know. But I don't understand Yankee fans thinking that you can go into Citi Field. Like, you look dumb. I don't know. Please stop. But what did I just say? We can't police fans. There's nothing we could tell. Go ahead. Do what you want to do, man. Have fun. But, like, I guess it is a somewhat of an excuse. The same way that you heard Yankee fans say, "Hey, Juan Soto jerseys are popping up in our stadium. People are wearing Mets Juan Soto jerseys looking for attention." That's why you're hearing F Juan Soto chants. Now the same thing is happening in Queens. Yeah, Yankee fans are showing up to Citi Field wearing their Yankee jerseys. That's why we're breaking out in the Yankee suck chants. It has nothing to do with what's going on the field. It's completely what's going on in the stands. But when you're listening to the radio or watching on TV, you go, "Ah, come on, guys, be better. The Yankees aren't even here. Juan Soto's not even here." Yeah, but you don't have eyes. There's no camera on what's going on in the seats. Nelson is in Albany. Next up on the fan. What's up, man?
How are you doing, Keith?
Good. How are you?
So I just want to stop talking about this, the Yankee suck chant. Let's just look at the positivity. The Mets won four straight. I know it's early in the season. We're rolling right now. Our pitching staff is doing better than expected for most people. All I can say is in Stearns we trust. And if I could, I just want to give a shout-out to one of my friends. I have a buddy named Philip. When A.J. Minter fell off the mound and Vientos had that error, he threw his phone at the wall and it cracked. The Mets are on a four-game winning streak since then.
Five now. Yeah, they won that last game against the Marlins. They swept the Blue Jays, and they took this first game from the Marlins. So that's five in a row now.
That's true.
Four wins at home, though. They're undefeated at home, 4-0 at home.
It's all because my buddy Philip, I'm telling you, with his phone. He's phoneless right now. I know he's listening right now. He's a big fan of yours, Keith.
Well, tell him he's got the Mets magic. It's all connected to him throwing his phone. Why would you throw your phone? There's nothing that would make me throw my phone.
When Minter fell off the mound and Vientos, he's a diehard.
But they
fan.
Won that game.
He's really
no, didn't they figure out how to win that game? Or I know
but,
that was a.
But all these games are close. You know, he got nervous.
Yeah, but it's the first week of the season. You're getting that mad throwing your phone. It's not the World Series.
but it's because of him we're winning. Philip we trust, and David Stearns we trust. Let's go Mets. Let's keep this positivity. Who cares about some Yankee fans coming and trying to ruin it? We got this.
Thanks for the call, Nelson. 888-808-1019. I don't know. If I threw my phone as a young guy, and my mom would be like, what happened to your phone? Like, oh, A.J. Minter fell off the mound. He balked, so when he balked...
Hey, bro, I think we need to dive into this a little bit more. I think he should give us a call, you know?
Yeah, Philip. I don't know. You got to get on the landline. If you have a landline, call 888-808-1019 and tell us how you feel. At least the Mets are winning after your phone got damaged.
Go get a burner phone real quick. Give us a call.
You know, the Mets have, you know, the fans. The pitch clock thing, I think, is valid. The fans chanting the pitch clock. Whether they're on time or not, I think that's hilarious. Like I said, I was a part of the Brooklyn Brigade, the block, the Brooklyn Nets fans that were chanting for Giannis, and the league made us literally take down the shot clock. We still did it anyway. Like, that's great. The Mets have their new, like, wheels on the bus, throw my arm out, hit Selly, you know, when they get on base, their celebration. I remember when I first saw, I think I saw Vientos do it, and I'm like, what's that about? What's that mean? They've kind of changed it a little bit. I've seen Lindor do it. I've seen Alonso do it. It's fun, man. You wait for baseball. You wait, you know, for your team to get good. You wait for, you know, things like this. Celebrate it. Have a good time. And, you know, just enjoy the fact that you're winning games. It could be the opposite. Like, with all of the hype and expectations, the Mets are doing it. I can't hate on it. No one should hate on it. And you hope that it keeps going. I get it. It's the Marlins and the Blue Jays. But whatever. You play who's in front of you. You got to beat who you got to beat. And like I said, again, with their pitching being ahead of the hitting, you know they're going to hit. When the weather breaks, you know they're going to hit. Even when the weather doesn't break, they're going to hit. They've got too many good hitters in the lineup to figure it out. And what I think the greatest thing is, like, you're getting at bats from Hayden Sanger. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're overcoming Brett Beatty. Like, just being able to win despite those things. Alvarez will be back. Jeff McNeil will be back. Some of the pitching will be back. And guys will be back to hitting in their regular form. Like, there's going to be a couple weeks where Juan Soto is just hitting multiple home runs. You've seen it from Lindor. How about Lindor not having as slow of a start? Lindor, like I said, his energy leading off, getting on base. And then even Juan Soto, if he's not banging home runs, he's got a 10-game on-base streak. He'll work his walk and get on. So, and he's figuring it out. I'm trying to think what else from my notes that I could report from it. It's just, there's nothing bad to say. There's nothing bad to say about the Mets right now. They're winning these close games. They're the make-it-happen Mets because they're making it happen even when they're struggling, right? Even when they're struggling, they're making it happen to score enough runs to win. We'll beat you 2-1. We'll beat you 3-2. We'll beat you 2-0. Let's go to Queens and talk to Mitchell on the fan next. What's up, Mitch?
What's doing, Keith? How are you?
Good, good.
So I just want to comment on Ovechkin. I'm a big hockey guy, but I think this is a fair comment for all sports across. When you got a guy who's playing at a Hall of Fame level for 20 years, you rarely see that. And there's got to be respect. And I'm an Islanders fan. I never saw Mike Bossy play. I'm 30 years old. But, like, the game's different 35, 40 years ago. So, like, there's a lot of respect for his name, and there's a lot of respect for Ovechkin. And I just feel like people are so obsessed, especially, like, who's better from the 80s or, like, who cares? Like, if they're not getting on the field together, like, why can't we just, like, appreciate both of them?
Yeah, the comparing is so lame. You can't compare eras. There's so many things that are different. Just appreciate greatness and the fact that we're able to see Ovechkin break this record. He did it in New York, and it's a record that a lot of people probably thought wouldn't be broken.
It's pretty incredible. He's played 20 years healthily in a row, which is pretty unbelievable and a crazy high level.
Yeah, I saw PK Subban on ESPN talking about him versus LeBron and how, you know, how much, you know, he's only missed 35 games in 20 years and the beating he's taken and how physical he plays. And he was making some good points.
I don't really want to talk about that, but I one thing I love about all the other sports outside basketball is that, like, throw load management to the wind, because, like, they're all grinding in other sports. Like, you can grind also. But one, I got one thought on baseball. Honestly, as a Mets fan, I don't really care what's going to be next offseason. We have no idea what's going to be. There's going to be things that are going to come up. People are going to perform. People are going to think injuries. But so I look at the trade deadline, and a thought that I had was, is that why don't small market teams spend on guys for 1 year and then and flip them at the trade deadline as like a strategy in general? Like, Tanner Scott got a lot back. Why doesn't the Pirates, you know, if everything goes right, Paul Skeens, the Pirates, young hitters.
The Pirates aren't a good example. The Mets are a good example. No, we thought saying, that's like, what they were doing last year, right? We thought, like, all right, Luis Severino, short little deal. If it doesn't work out, we can flip him at the deadline.
No, but someone like a Tanner Scott, a high leverage arm, or someone like who you know is going to fetch you a lot on a, as a rental. Meaning not Luis Severino, who, like, okay, if he doesn't work out, whatever. Meaning guys who you know, bona fide, give him a lot for 1 year that you can know that you could flip for sure.
They got to want to sign that, you know. Tanner Scott is a Dodger now.
I'm saying no one was, if no one was blowing him out of the, I don't know. If people would blow people out of the water with 1 year deals that would be a lot, I think people would be, players would be more intended to sign that. But I don't, I just think there's such a trend in baseball of like the teams who don't want to spend, they're not going to spend. And it's like, this is so low risk for you.
Yeah.
I just don't get
it. There's some that do. There's some that will go the extra year. There's some that'll defer money. Yeah. I think these guys rather the security of multiple years than just a heavy 1 year deal, because then they're back to the drawing board.
I agree with you, but I feel like it's got to be something worth like throwing paint at the board with some of these guys of how late they go into the off season of that. Like, why don't you see a team that doesn't spend as much? Try that. Like, we know you're not going to pay him long term, but like, I don't know. That's a thought I had. And just one thought on the NFL draft. And this is what I think about the Jets and your caller before who talked about Abdul Carter for the Jets. And I feel like for teams in general, if there is a potential, if there is a need of a position opening on offensive and defensive line, and there is someone who is comparable on the board, the Eagles are the walking proof that you take him. And you don't look to take the corner or the tight end or the receiver. You could always fill that later. You take the offensive lineman.
At three? Line. At three?
No, not at three. I'm saying the Giants. I'm saying the Jets. But I'm saying I wouldn't, if you think Abdul Carter over a quarterback, then I would take that, meaning the pass rusher. But I'm not saying that I would take Abdul Carter at three if you think he's the right thing over a quarterback. You don't believe in Shador.
Right. But you're saying, but you're general, saying for the Jets to go offensive line at seven? I don't know. I missed what you were saying there with the O-line. You can swing and miss on an offensive lineman too. A lot.
But I'd rather swing and miss on an offensive lineman than look at a guy who's a mediocre tight end who's doing nothing for my team and saying, like...
Who? Tyler Warren, are you suggesting?
No, I'm not saying Tyler Warren's going to be a bust, but I'm saying if he is mediocre as opposed to someone who's going to be a solid player, I'd rather then shop free agency for a solid tight end than someone who I can know I can pencil in for 16 games every year at right tackle.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Mitch. No one knows anything. These kids are going from college to pros. These kids are going to different cities. Yeah, they're making money in college, but now they're about to like get different kind of money. All of it is a chance. All of these guys are, you know, you're hoping that they work out. None of these guys are locks. It's about fitting a need. I don't know. I want the Jets to draft Tyler Warren. I think when you're looking at position by position and him being the top tight end, like, he's got the size and the stature and the demeanor and the film, and like, he's going to block and he's also going to body guys. We'll talk about it a little bit. I mean, I was trying to keep it to Mets and Yankees. We got a break, though. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I'll talk a little bit more NFL draft. We are getting close to that. And then I will sprinkle in a couple things from the weekend just to get my comments in on them. And, you know, the rest of your calls on the Mets, on the Yankees. Yankee fans don't want to talk about Rodon. We're already on to Tarek Skubal and Carlos Carrasco, right? So, yeah, Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back. Shout out to Phil, who broke his phone when AJ Minter balked and fell off the mound. I told him to hit the landline, and he did. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Phil is in Rockaway. Phil, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
How are you doing? What phone are you using right now?
No, I got a new phone last night, thank God.
I'm assuming your parents have to help you get a phone. No, you guys seem like young guys.
Yeah, no. So I did not tell them the whole story. I just told them my phone broke. Never said anything about how it broke. let me explain. It's pretty bad, but I was at the game. I was in school. And it's frustrating because the Mets haven't scored runs throughout the year, so I wasn't too happy with production. And then
throughout the week, first week. It wasn't in the year.
I know. Listen, we're playing the Marlins. I'm expecting high runs at the beginning of the offense. Things happening. Minter comes in and falls off the mound. So first, I did my phone once. It didn't break. It was still going well. And then the next pitch, there was a chopper to Vientos, which he handled awkwardly and didn't make a throw, and he scored a run. It was the second error of the game, I think. He already emailed the catcher, and at that point, I kind of had it. I wasn't thinking too much, so I just let my phone go, and it shattered, and that was the end of it.
So, you were in school? Did it hit, the brick walls in the school? Because sometimes they got those
brick walls. Yeah, I threw it into a brick wall.
All right, well, A.J. Minter has looked much better every time out since, and the Mets are rolling, and there's a lot of people pointing to a bunch of different things, and your boy called and said, since Phil broke that phone, the Mets haven't lost a game. So you get some of that credit, too.
Yeah, I need to be hooked up with the first pitch. I need to become the next Grimace. I'm the next big thing.
I mean, if the Rizzler can throw first pitch, you can definitely throw first pitch, Phil. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. The Rizzler. I rock with him. I know people can't see me. People can see me. I'm on the live doing the... doing the Rizzler,
bro. You saw that him and the Costco guys dropped a song.
Yeah, and his voice is so high pitched. I never make it through 3 seconds of their music video because it's so cringe.
The only reason I do is because I love reading the comments, so I hear it in the background. But the comment section is wild.
The comments are funnier than the music video. I'm sure people are cutting them up, roasting them.
I saw somebody say, does America really deserve this?
No, we don't. We don't. It's like, my name is Big Justice, and I'm Big AJ, and he's the Rizzler. And the Rizzler's like, yeah, coming through. It's the Rizzler. It's just so cheesy. It's so corny. But, yo, props to them. They made a way. They started with the Costco food reviews. Why are you eating in Costco? I never thought to eat in Costco or BJ's. I buy food in there, maybe take it home to cook, but I never have partaken in the side like
a chicken bake.
Yeah,
or a double chunk chocolate cookie.
It's so dumb, the things that go viral. It's so dumb, the things that we like now. That these are the people that we prop up in society. Like, here comes the boom. A chicken bake, a double chocolate. Like, come on, yo. They came out of nowhere with it, so I can't even hate. They're linked in with the Yankees. But that's the thing about the Rizzler. Before we get back to the phones at 888-808-1019, the Mets are undefeated since, the Rizzler threw out first pitch. But when I saw him in the Yankees gear or in the Mets gear, I'm like, I recently saw him in Yankees gear. He is in a Booking.com commercial wearing a Yankees robe. And I posted about it. I said, my man getting money both ways, Mets and Yankees. He's a kid. You don't have to choose a side. Get money on both sides. If they pay you Booking.com to wear a Yankees robe, take that money. If the Mets host you to come out and probably put you and your dad in really nice seats, get that money, man. Get that opportunity, man. So I don't hate it at all. The Mets are winning. Something that I will put out there? I put it out there last year, too. Evan Roberts needs to throw out a first pitch. He wrote a book called My Mets Bible. And if you listen to this guy talk about the Mets, I don't think there's that many bigger Mets fans. How do you not have the host of Evan and Tiki, Evan Roberts, the author of My Mets Bible? It's actually late. It's not like Evan just started being like this. It's late. Evan should get to throw out a first pitch. If they're having Grimace last year, Hawk Tua last year. I have two friends that threw out first pitches. They might not really be bigger than Evan. They're bigger on social media. My guy, Nikki Kaz. And I saw Nikki Kaz was in the Cadillac Club. And it's funny. I'm like, Nikki, you a whole Yankees fan, bro. You hit me up two opening days ago like, hey, you got 8 tickets open today. And then he ended up doing this whole video with the Yankees. And then he's feet up in the Cadillac Club over the weekend. And he threw out a first pitch for the Mets last year. And my guy, Eitan Levine, a.k.a. Eitan the goalie, he threw out a first pitch for the Mets last year. So Evans is not in touch with the right people. I'm sure we could get that done. So I'm putting it out there again. If anybody is randomly listening at 1:36 p.m., we got to get Evan Roberts in Queens to throw out the first pitch for one of these games this year. I think that's – just add him to the list. How many home games are there? 81? Come on.
You got to have between Big Evan Justice Roberts. And the Rizzler.
If the Rizzler already went, they're going to have Big AJ. I don't know the rest of their names. I see sometimes the mom and the sister kind of get down, but don't really full-time get down. They're only part-time. Let's go to Josh and Passaic on the Fan. What's up, Josh?
Yo, Keith, what's doing, man?
You know, we're talking Mets. It's a good time to be a Mets fan. It's a Mets world. We're all just living in it.
It's gotten crazy intense between Mets and Yankees fans. Like, nobody's business. There's a crazy fight in the Mets in City Field where a guy got with the Yankees fan got thrown out. They were throwing stuff at each other. But anyway, you know, Keith, it's past 1:30 already. So we got to get first of there. How much money would you take to do an ad wearing a Mets jersey?
Zero. I'm not broke. I'm straight. I don't need to. Let me see. But you're saying, like, okay, if it's a high number, like theoretically, to put on a Mets jersey, what's the number that would move me?
And you do the ad with Juan Soto.
To do an ad with Juan Soto and wear Mets gear, yep. it would have to be over 10 G's. It'd have to be five figures. It'd have to be at least 10 racks for me to consider it. You know, it's got to be somewhere. I'm like, all right, $10,000, I could do something with that. I get paid, you know, a couple thousand for appearances, $5,000 for, you know, different things. $10,000 is where we would start that conversation. Because at the end of the day, I just said with the Rizzler, right, get that money. If the Mets want to pay me $10,000 to do an ad with Juan Soto, yeah. And you know what I tell people? I made $10,000 wearing a Mets jersey. I'm not a Mets fan. You know that.
Yeah, use that against them, huh? So anyway, the stadium tonight, I was telling Biggs, like, it literally looks like them and the Tigers, it looked like Sacramento with the A's. But you can't blame them, you know, there's disgusting. I was thinking about going, but then, you know, I'm looking outside, it's drizzling, it's wet, it's cold outside, I'm going to have to probably use a train to get to a bunch of guys. I'm like, nah, not worth it. You know, in these types of games, you know, where they win like 1-0, 2-0, 3-1, like, I almost feel like it's almost better to watch, and you know, they're not going to be full crowds for the Colts. It's almost like better to watch the game instead. And it's very funny, you know, their offense, I think, before this game was 27 the batting average. You know, it kind of feels like with all these wins and stuff is, you know, when you not get away with something, but you get something done, you're looking over the shoulder, like, did I get away with it? It's kind of how these Mets games have been. They just sneak them out. And, you know, we'll take the bad competition, rack up those wins. Those wins are going to mean a lot, you know, randomly at the end of the year. You'll remember these games. Now when you have these bad teams, this is when you take advantage. And, you know, just hopefully when the weather warms up, the hitting will too. Okay, thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Josh. And, you know, the thing about, like, winning and stacking wins is like, exactly what Josh said. Like, you need these later. And, you know, I spoke on the Braves and their terrible start, you know, slow start out of the gate. You know, you want to gain ground on them. The Phillies just went toe-to-toe with the Dodgers, took the series from the Dodgers, and the Mets are right on their heels, right? The Phillies are 7-2, the Mets are 7-3. You got to keep pace. I mean, the Marlins are right in the middle at 5-5, but you can't lose games to the Marlins. You got to beat up on the Marlins. Don't look now, but the Nationals beat the Dodgers. Let's look quickly at the out-of-town scores. 888-808-1019, as I have cleared my calls for the night. But this show is over in 15 minutes. So last call for calls if you want to get in here. Earlier today, the New York Yankees fall 6-2 to the Tigers. And, you know, I was looking at the Tigers last week. I just knew they were going to be scrappy. They played the Yankees tough last year. Rodon got chased after 3 1/3 last year, and then it set up Tarek Skubal versus the Yankees at the Little League Classic or whatever. Remember, they called up Jason Dominguez for that. Jason Dominguez took a seat earlier today. I just think that, you know, again, about, you know, Carlos Rodon, it's him, his way. The team is following him. He's got the ball. And on the days that he makes starts, if he's not confident, if he's letting something bother him, get under his skin, then the team isn't confident. Then the team's got something under his skin. And, you know, the umpire, you can't really expect the umps to give you anything. The Pirates defeat the Cardinals 8-4. And I was seeing that, you know, there wasn't that many people at that game. Let's see. It's tough out there. And this gives me an opportunity to speak on the whole Roberto Clemente thing. It's just despicable, man. And they tried to say it was a mistake. Yeah, of course it was a mistake. But it's just crazy, right? Roberto Clemente played right field. There's a Roberto Clemente statue out there in Pittsburgh. There's a museum out there in Pittsburgh. And, like, that little 21 Clemente emblem that specifically was in right field, for them to take that down and put a Surfside can up, somebody had to have given that the green light. That isn't something that you just do. Like, that's something that has to be coordinated with sales. That has to be coordinated with the fields crew, the grounds crew. And it's just crazy that we live in this time where somebody, like, maybe somebody that wasn't educated on who Roberto Clemente was. Maybe it was somebody that was confused. Oh, you know, they take the Jackie Robinson stuff out of the military. You know, they're rolling back this DEI. We don't have to even bother putting up this Clemente stuff. Let's sell a $5,000 Surfside ad. Like, that rubbed me the wrong way. On top of all of the other stuff with sell the team, you know, the fans chanting sell the team, to think that they would take that down and make that advertising space for a can, like, it just, I don't know. It just shows you exactly why the fans are chanting sell the team in Pittsburgh. They've lost their way. I don't know what they're trying to do out there, but they win today 8-4. Hosting the Cardinals now after the Yankees leave town. The Yankees should have been able to get that last game of the series. Already told you the Nationals beat the Dodgers 6-4. The Blue Jays humble the Red Sox a little bit, 6-2. You know what happened in Queens? The Marlins get nothing against the Mets. They get shut out 2-0. And the Cubs win 7-0 against the Rangers. Look at the go Cubs go. The Cubs are winning in Wrigley. The Royals beat the Twins 4-2. The Orioles beat the Diamondbacks 5-1. The Astros lose to the Mariners 4-3. And I think I saw Spencer Arrighetti. Spencer Arrighetti suffered a broken right thumb after being hit by a line drive. So they're down a starter. The Reds beat the Giants 2-0. And the Padres beat the Athletics 5-4. What'd you say? Are you talking to me? Oh, my bad. I thought Zoo was talking to me. Let's go to Tony in Montreal on the Fan. You got it, Tony.
How you doing, Keith? Man, I love talking to you. I just want to mention a couple things. I talked to Anthony Gallo the other night, and he was talking, saying that he's a good friend of yours. And we were talking, he as a Mets fan was supporting the idea that Judge is the best baseball player in baseball today because of his awesome, prolific hitting ability. And I went through a litany of players that I saw play, including Rice, Dawson, Conigliaro, Stargell, Clemente, Aaron, Munson, Reggie, Ken Griffey Jr., Pujols, and Barry Bonds, and Jeter. And I said, in my opinion, of the guys I saw play, probably three of the most fearsome hitters on the equal icon level with Judge would have been Griffey Jr., Vlad Sr., and Reggie. When those players came up, they hit. I'm not talking about overall massive numbers. I'm just talking about scary, beautiful swings that the opponents knew that they were in for a show. And one of the guys that I remember, my dad took me to the Montreal Expos. He said, you're going to see a guy by the name of Stargell today, and you're going to see a guy by the name of Clemente. And you just mentioned Clemente. The dishonor of removing his statue in Pittsburgh. When I was a kid, I cried because he was on a trip to, I don't know if it was Nicaragua or to Puerto Rico. He had just completed his season, done his 3,000 hit. and he was on a plane going down there to bring food and clothing to people that were poor, that were hit by devastation in the Caribbean. And the plane went into the ocean and he died. You know, he died. And I said to myself, we lost an icon. And when you talk about icons, okay, that's Judge. Judge is on the same level as Clemente, Stargell, superstars. And people that don't appreciate these superstars, you know, it's not right. Like, we were Expos fans when my dad said, you're going to come and see Juan Marichal pitch today for San Francisco. Watch this guy pitch. And my dad would say, you got to watch Clemente swing a bat and Stargell. These are guys that are stars. Even though my father was a Yankees fan, and even though I was a young kid and I was an Expos fan, he taught me to love the great baseball icons, okay? Yeah. And, you know, sometimes people forget that, Keith. They forget that. Kurt Flood, who played center field for the St. Louis, he hit, I think he did 6 seasons in a row where he was gold glove. He never missed a game. He's the guy that played the most games in center field of all major leaguers. He leads the, and his numbers were close to 300, and he's never been in the Hall. That's a guy that should be in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, to judge because he didn't have a great postseason. Well, Joe Rudy and Gene Tennis, or Gene Tenacci, as you would say it in Italian, for the Oakland Athletics, those two guys should be in the Hall, but they had superior postseasons, and that doesn't make them superstars. Superstars and winning in the series, the World Series, is part of a team, but individually, icon players will always be icon players.
Yeah,
agreed. And given what you said about Clemente, Clemente's in that club.
Definitely. Nobody talks about Steve Pierce. He just got hot and won MVP for the Red Sox in 2018. And, you know, Judge's greatness is still very much on display. And we'll see how many opportunities he gets, a chance to pull through. I was listening to Michael Kay talk about, you know, different guys. He's like, you know, it didn't hurt Ted Williams. It didn't hurt Willie Mays. I know Willie Mays, I think, actually did win, but it wasn't, like, dominant in the postseason. It's just the narrative around Judge. It's louder because of social media. And it wasn't the Clemente statue. It was the emblem with, like, 21 Clemente that was in right field that, honestly, when you look out to right field, it would make you think about Clemente who played in right field.
His
flight was going from Puerto Rico to Nicaragua. And, like, I've been to Puerto Rico. I love Puerto Rico. And you can't go too far in Puerto Rico without seeing 21 or Clemente somewhere. It's just crazy to think that the Pirates had anyone in their organization that said, yeah, okay, we're going to remove this in favor of an advertisement. Thanks for the call, Tony. 888-808-1019. It's just ridiculous. It's like, don't say it was an accident. Don't say it was a mistake. Own it. Someone in our marketing department was selling advertising space, and a decision was made to remove that which was not an advertisement and put an advertisement there. Somebody okayed it. Somebody had the thought about it and said, yeah, this is fine. We're going to do this. Instead of honoring a legend who, not too long ago, like, they were saying they should retire 21. Like, Clemente should get the treatment that Jackie Robinson gets. We should all wear 21. And you know what it did? It set, you know, the baseball world on fire in a bad way, where everybody was speaking about Clemente. Everybody that follows baseball. And, like, even I saw, like, Brian Hoke the next day. He's like, he went to the Roberto Clemente Museum that night. I heard Dave and Susan. Dave was upset about it. And, like, you know, of course anybody would be upset about it. Roberto Clemente Jr. spoke out about it. Like, what do you think they think? Like his family members, you know? Like, wow. I think that's originally his tweet was just, wow. Because it was Pittsburgh Clothing Co. said, just realized they replaced the Clemente logo on the right field wall with a Surfside ad. And this person in Pittsburgh had the side-by-side picture to show it. And it just looks like so, like, tasteless and classless. That you would remove an icon like that and then put up a Surfside seltzer can. Not that it matters, but did Surfside know that that's where their ad was going to be? Probably not. They probably didn't tell them, like, hey, you're going to replace Clemente. We're going to put your can up in right field there. Peter is in Manhattan on the fan. What's up, Peter?
Great show, Keith. I hope your family's well. Just a few things about Clemente. I saw him in the tail end. When he came up, he was totally discriminated. So they didn't allow him to call to be called Roberto. He was called Bob Clemente. So just moving along, you know, he was by far the best defensive player. I mean, this guy had a gun. You can take a look at some YouTube videos in 1970. I mean, this guy dominated the World Series. But, Keith, just a few other things with Clemente. He was totally discriminated with the official scores. He could have won easily, you know, the 3-4 batting titles, but they called hits errors. As a matter of fact, Keith, you can look this up. His 3,000 hits was basically a bang-bang play. So he called the official score. He said, look, mark that in there. I don't want to hit. And then... So he was so upset with the official scorers with his original 3,000 hit. He said, mark that in there. I don't want to hit. And then he got the 3,000 hit. That's John Madley. But this guy was a legend. I never saw an arm. I mean, if you take a look at the 1970 World Series, this guy dominated. He single-handedly beat the Orioles in the World Series. And then, as a matter of fact, before he died, Willie Mays said, look, the best player in baseball is Roberto Clemente. This guy's going to break the hits record. Of course, he died when he went to Nicaragua. So this guy was fabulous. Never saw a player like that. Never saw a norm like that. 5'2 player and just a great gentleman. All right, Keith, I'll let you go, and you have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Peter. Yeah, you know, I appreciate that because education is important, and a lot of young people have not seen these players and do not know that their impact is larger than what they did in the game. And that's where I point to with this. I'm like, somebody just made a mistake in the organization, and it could have been a young person that did not understand the weight that it has. Like, you know, Roberto Clemente Jr.'s son put out a statement, and he said, you know, the Pirates failed to inform us, but this reveals a broader issue, a lack of meaningful collaboration between the organization on matters that are deeply personal and historical. Like, and insignificant to us and the fans. Like, clearly, you know, this is something that they thought that they could do, you know, shut down the stadium for months and then the stadium opened back up and people don't notice. Supposedly they said that they moved it, right? It was in right field, but it should be in right field. Whatever. and the fact that the Pirates did it without talking to his family and... they came out and said it was a mistake. Of course it was a mistake. Be better. Anyway, I mean, they're Pirates. That's why their fans are chanting, sell the team. The owner tries to walk through his own ballpark, and people are yelling, sell the team, to his face. I told you we didn't have time to talk about Ovechkin and Brian Daboll going to lunch with Abdul Carter. And we didn't have time. But I'll be back the next night and the next night and the next night and the next night. And time is time. Thank you for giving me some time. Keith McPherson on the fan. Thank you for everybody watching in the live chat. And the people that were waiting online. Like, what's going on, man? How long is this postgame? I don't know, bro. I don't make those calls. I just sit here ready to rock. We'll do this again. C-Mac is coming up next. Have a good night. Be safe. Be warm out there. Peace.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
It's BT and Sal, middays 10 to 2 on The Fan, 101.9 FM.
If you would have told me, hey, we go 1-1 against Boone, I would have said, that's a pretty strong showing.
Hack doesn't go your way.
Yeah.
He's just rolling him right on off.
He's been around the game since he came out of the womb, third generation baseball family. Boone came up small. He did. And we love Boone. Came up small.
Stream BT and Sal live or on demand with the Odyssey app and podcast.